chapter of the book of Romans. We have been enjoying in the past week or two the person of the Holy Spirit, and particularly the fact he is the divine teacher and the revealer of the truth of God. And I pray that you and I may never forget that all that we can and do learn from the blessed Word of God, we have a divine teacher, every one of us, dwelling within us, the blessed person of the Holy Spirit. And he is the perfect teacher, knowing all the truth. I thought tonight we would begin another series in relation to the Spirit, but in connection with the gifts that he gives to the people of God to be used for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus. Now let me make it very specific. There is a distinction between the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts, plural, that the Holy Spirit gives. Every believer, as we have noted from the Scriptures, possesses the Holy Spirit. But then we read from the Word of God that every believer has a gift from the Holy Spirit to be exercised in the service of the Lord. May I repeat it before we begin our reading? Every believer has a gift given to them by the Holy Spirit to be used in the service of the Lord for him. Whether it be in the local assembly particularly, in the family, at school, at work, everywhere we go, we have a gift that can be used. But I'm beginning the reading in Romans 12 for the specific reason the writing of the Apostle Paul to the Roman church does not particularly deal in detail with assembly or church truth. And yet it does in some little measure. But it does bring before us in chapter 12, there are some spiritual gifts that are named that the members of the body of Christ can and may or do possess. So let me read from chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, and I'm only going to read through verse 8. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the message of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or intelligent service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man and every one that is among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or service, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, meaning service. Don't misunderstand the word ministry. It has nothing to do with a minister, as we often call such. But it really means service. Whatever form of service it may be that God calls one to, and it's not always in the pulpit. But let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity or liberality, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. From verses 5 through 8, particularly verse 6 down through verse 8, you have some of the gifts mentioned. But let's look at the introduction of the chapter first. It begins a great division in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. That is a great doctrinal truth, which you may read from chapter 1 going down through chapter 11. Following those teachings by the beloved Apostle Paul, and covering particularly God's great way of salvation to justify sinners and fill them with the Spirit and make them His own. And now we come to the portion where you can rightly say you have the responsibility of the believer having been saved. Note the opening words. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And please let me note with you. Note it very carefully. Note the second word in the verse. I beseech you. Now this portion has to do with service and so on, and instruction in right living, as we go on through this epistle, as you would go through it. But notice, the apostle is writing, and God is writing, not demanding, but beseeching. In other words, voluntarily. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And the mercies of God toward you and me, my fellow believer, have been all included in the preceding chapters, revealing to us God's great salvation, our justification from sin, our identification with Christ over the power of sin, and ultimately our glorification in heaven, as you may read in chapter 8, when He comes to take us and redeems our body. And the apostle appeals on the basis of what God has done for us, and he calls them the mercies of God. Now what is our responsibility? Note it carefully, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do you recognize we cannot minimize it? It is an appeal to every believer to yield himself and herself, not as a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Present your bodies. And he goes on to say, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or intelligent service. Now one can recognize, and beloved, we cannot emphasize it too greatly. We all need it, no matter how old we may be. The responsibility of yielding the body to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be used for Him and for His glory, which is our intelligent service. Now you may notice particularly, and do notice it particularly, it's the yieldiness of the believer to the control of the Holy Spirit in his and her life, and the Word of God, that the life may be so lived, holy, H-O-L-Y, in holiness, and as an acceptable sacrifice unto God. And note, a living sacrifice. In other words, it's your life and my life. And then at the end of the verse, he says it's your reasonable service. I'm sure not one of us would deny the fact, after all the Lord has done for me, after all He has done for each one of us, what a debt of love we owe Him and devotion. And how can you express it and denote it except by and through the body? There is no question of doubt, my beloved fellow believer. It's in this present body the Lord is requesting us to yield our lives to be lived for His honor and glory. Now note verse 2 as he goes on. He gives very definite instruction regarding this. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be like the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me pause for a few moments on that expression. Be not conformed to this world. In other words, the character of the world is not spiritual. As we saw last week in our studies, in the preceding study, in 1 Corinthians 2, there is the natural man who is unsaved. He knows nothing of the things of God, and neither can he. So that when we come to our responsibility here, we are not to be as the natural man, unheeding the word of God and the things of God. Don't be conformed to the likeness of the world in that respect, but be ye transformed. It's a word that in the Greek language, it's the word metamorpho, which means going through a process of a change. You'll find the word in the Greek 3 times, and all of it is always in reference to the changed life of the believer in Christ, to be transformed. But note the next word. By the renewing of your mind. Now don't forget what we had last week and the preceding week. From 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have a teacher, and he has the mind of Christ to reveal to us. And don't forget, the source of the revelation is this blessed book. Things that the world cannot hear, nor the eye cannot see, nor even the heart of the man can understand it. But God reveals them to us by His Spirit. And remember at the end of that second chapter of Corinthians, Paul wrote, but we have the mind of Christ. Take it. Let me give you the thought that one has written, I think it's J.N. Darby, wrote these words. I never have forgotten them. We have the intelligent faculty of Christ. Take it in. The mind of Christ. All right, go back to our verse here. And know particularly how the transformation should be accomplished by the renewing of your mind. And my beloved, let me say again faithfully, for you as well as for myself, the renewing of the mind has to be done by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. There's no other natural source. It's divine in its source. And through the Word of God, our minds can be renewed and taught how we should be transformed. And then you will note what follows. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm sure I'm not going too far to declare that God, by the Holy Spirit, has a purpose for your life and for mine, that we might be not only acceptable, but doing perfectly the will of God. In other words, the will of God. And my beloved, may I suggest to you, every one of us should be, no matter how our age may be, what it may be, and our portion in life, we should be confidently, God wants us to know His will for our lives, in order that He may use us in whatever place He would please in. Now note what the apostle goes on to say. And it comes to directly, more personally. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The first suggestion that he makes as he approaches the gift that God has given to be used, is the attitude of the heart and of the mind and of the soul and of the life in humility toward the service that shall be ours. My beloved, may I confess, readily confess, One of the great difficulties, we can be proud of our service, which is unfortunate, and proud of ourselves when we are doing something for the Lord. Now Paul is warning us to be governed by humility. For God has dealt to every man, as God has dealt to every man, the measure of faith. And now it gives a suggestion, a blessed suggestion. God would control the measure of our service and our faith that we exercise in serving Him. And note in verse 4, as he begins in verse 4, and then goes down to enumerate some special gifts. For as we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or service, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now you have the apostle bringing in the truth that we are, all of us, no matter how many we may be, we're in one body. And he calls it here, as you notice it, in verse 5, we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. My beloved, may I give you the precious thought, I'm sure you read it there. The preciousness of the one body, and that one body, including all the members, not some of them, all of them. And I must confess that it takes in every member of the body of Christ upon the earth. Now when you go to the Epistle of Corinthians, which we may do next week, God willing, we'll see the local assembly particularly focused upon regarding the gifts. But here it is, the whole body of Christ. And gifts are mentioned that can be used toward the membership of that one body. Now may I note particularly with you, the gifts of the name, they are used for the body. As we read on, as you may, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Now when you go to Corinthians in chapter 12, God willing, if we do, we'll find the body of Christ likened to an organism, the human body. But it's not likened that here. But it's in its unity, in its fullness, in its completeness. But there are gifts. Now no, verse 6, beginning where the gifts are commencing. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Please may I emphasize the difference of the gifts. Gifts that differ. We cannot all have the same gift. There are some that have the same gift, no doubt. But here you have the apostle say, there's a variety of gifts. God willing, if we get to 1 Corinthians 12, we'll see the many varieties of the gifts in the one body, and particularly the local body of the assembly. But they differ. And those that are enumerated here can be used toward the whole body. Particularly, and note, he goes on to name the gifts. First of all, in the beginning of the middle of verse 6, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now may I emphasize the truth of the meaning of prophesying here? It means preaching the word. It means preaching the word. You may remember, as you have it in your New Testament, God gave some apostles and prophets. Now what did the prophets do in the beginning of the church? They preached the word. And that was the meaning of prophecy. And Paul adds in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'd rather speak 5 words that are understood in prophecy, meaning the word of God, than 10,000 words in tongues. The importance of preaching the word of God. And beloved, within the whole church of God, thank God for every man. tonight we were praying, and I thank God the missionaries were mentioned in their ministry as they're out in the world seeking to preach the word of God and the gospel. Now that's a gift. Let me frankly say, you better prove your gift before you think you've got it. Don't think you've got the gift before you even showed it. I remember when I first was burdened to go out in the work of the Lord, I was kneeling by my bed reading my Bible in the book of Proverbs and praying to the Lord for guidance as to my future path to serve Him. And I came across a verse, I think it's in Proverbs 16:18. A man's gift maketh room for him. I looked at that verse and I said, Lord, if I believe you're telling me, I've no business trying to make room for my gift. If I have a gift, Lord, you'll make room for me. You get the thought? In other words, make sure you have the gift. And if you want to know some of the ways that I made sure, I preached on the street corner many a time. And in the rescue mission many a time. Wherever I could, even in some homes, just for the benefit of developing my gift. Long before I went out, fully giving my time to that particular work, preaching the word of God. But Paul mentions this gift here. I'm glad he puts it in that particular location. It's the first one he mentions. But then there's another one he mentions. And then let's note this exhortation. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And of course, if God develops your gift and God recognizes and acknowledges and shows your gift, and particularly the fruit of it in leading souls to Christ, that certainly builds up your faith too. Then go to verse 7. All ministry, meaning serving. Let me say again, this includes all forms of service that you may be doing, whether in and to the local assembly or outside for that matter, for the sake of showing to the members of the body of Christ your testimony for the Lord. Let us wait on our ministering. And there again you can recognize. Don't go too fast in trying to display your gift. Do you remember the exhortation in verse 3? To have the humbleness of mind and spirit, and thus to do the things as God has dealt with every man according to the proportion of faith, in humility. And then you have going on, or he that teacheth. Now here's a servant of God that undoubtedly is a teacher. There are various gifts, as you well know. There's not only the evangelist, there's not only the pastor or the shepherd, and the teacher. There's the teacher. And he touches upon that teaching ministry. And he says, or he that teacheth on teaching. Beloved, there is no question. Let me say it again to mine own heart, to yours too. The importance of being humble and making sure whatever you are able to do, God has given you the gift to do it. And then you go on further. He that exhorteth. And this is a person that speaks encouraging words on exhortation, encouraging. You may remember that in chapter 11 of the book of the Acts, the disciples of the early church were driven 200 miles away from Jerusalem to Antioch. They preached, and some were Greeks who had been saved, and they preached the word. And then the Jewish believers at Jerusalem heard about it, the revival going on in Antioch. And they sent Barnabas. And Barnabas wasn't a teacher. But at that time, He exhorted them to cleave unto the Lord when he saw what the Lord had done to save their souls in Antioch. And he was an exhorter. And to prove that he was just an exhorter, he knew his limitation, and he went to get Saul at that time, who was at Tarsus, to come and teach. So Paul was a teacher, and Barnabas was an exhorter, and he exhorted them to cleave to the Lord. He encouraged them. And beloved, you don't have to ask me, do we need encouraging? Yes, we certainly do. Of all that is around us, and the surroundings that we're in, so contrary to the mind of God in this world, we need to encourage one another. That's one of the exhortations that Paul gave even in Hebrews chapter 10, as he told us our responsibility is to be exhorting one another, and the more so as the day, as it gets nearer to the coming of the Lord. May I say humbly and faithfully, I believe today I never have seen a day when Christians need more exhortation. And the word means encouragement. We need it. You've got everything going around you that can discourage. And so, when it comes to exhortation, what a responsibility to do it. And then, there's the person that giveth. He's a man or a woman that is able to minister the material things for the Lord's service. Let him do it with simplicity. I like the word simplicity. Don't blow your horn. As you remember, the Lord Jesus said of the Pharisees, be not like those hypocrites. When they give money, they blow the horn and everybody know what they've done. But let me give you the thought from my own experience. I could lead you to more than one man, but I think of one particular brother in the Lord that I knew for many, many years is with the Lord now. He never could preach. He never could teach. But I tell you one thing. His ministry was giving. God blessed him unusually, even though he had to go through severe trials to get where the business was prosperous. But he honored the Lord in all his life. In giving. He knew he couldn't preach. He knew he couldn't teach. But he knew there were missionaries. There were other servants of God. And work for God being done. And he was generous in his giving. I'll just give you one clue to the greatness of his giving. He called me on the phone one day. And he said, Brother John, I've got a problem. I said, what's your problem, Brother John? That was his name. He said, well, he said, you know that my ministry is in giving. And he said, I've been giving to the Lord's people and to the Lord's work and to missionaries particularly for years. But he said, very recently, I find that the missionaries not always staying in the field, they're coming back home. Even in a year, and a 2 years, and some of them are not going back again. And he says, and I've been giving to the missionary work. And he says, I don't know what to do. And this is what he told me. He said, I have $500,000 to $800,000 a year to give. And he said, I don't know anymore where to give it. I said, John, I got the same trouble, but it's not as big as yours, though. Naturally. But there was a brother. I could tell you many a story of what he did, led by the Spirit of the Lord, which benefited and proved to be the Lord's hand in the way he gave. As the Spirit of God led him, he gave. That was his ministry. His service for the Lord. And he did it with simplicity, or if you want to put the word, with liberality. And then let's read on. He that ruleth, that is another that rules, let him do it with diligence. In other words, be faithful and diligent in his responsibility to lead. In other words, this is the man that leads the assembly. He that leadeth the assembly, let him do it with diligence. watching out for the saints. And then last of all, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. He that showeth mercy, these are but a few gifts, but they're toward the body of Christ. Some of them you may be able to carry out yourself. You may have this gift. And you can find it out. All you got to find it out is try to do it. And if you're successful doing it, you know you've got the gift. But the joy of knowing, it's all to the body of Christ. And God by the Spirit gives the gift. Now let me just raise the question. We'll see more about the gift, God willing, next week. But may I raise the question. Do you ever consider and think about what gift you have? Whether sister or brother, gifts of service. And one can recognize, take home this truth. Every believer can serve the Lord if he or she will. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for thy precious word, a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Blessed Father, here in thy word today we have read how thou wouldst lead us into service. Help us most of all and first of all to yield ourselves to thy lordship and authority in whatever way it pleases thee to develop and give gifts that we can use for thy glory. And we ask it particularly, Father, for our dear little assembly. Lord, we pray that our brothers and sisters that are not here will also become concerned about yielding their bodies to serve the Lord in whatever capacity he shows them. We ask it for everyone in the assembly for the glory of our Savior. Dismiss us with thy blessing, we pray, in our Savior's worthy name. Amen.